I'm Sari.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Seamwork Radio.
Welcome back to Seamwork Radio, where we share practical ideas for building a creative process so you can sew with intention and joy. And this is our fifth and final episode in our quick tip series. We're sharing quick episodes full of tips to answer your most burning sewing questions. And today we're talking about sewing bloopers. So we're going to cover some of the most common sewing bloopers and how to avoid them. All right, so let's start with our icebreaker for today, Haley. What's the best sewing blooper that you've ever either experienced or heard about?
Well, I mean, I've made lots of mistakes. And as a sewing instructor, I've seen lots of mistakes. But the one that I am thinking about in this moment is one time I was like styling on a photo shoot, and there was like small designers that like dropped off their samples for us to like use. And one of the samples was like a shirt, like a button-up shirt. And there was two left sleeves on it. Well, left or right sleeves, I don't remember. But it was like not intentional. And you could tell by the way that the sleeve was like hanging that it was backwards. And so I was like, I don't really know what to do with it. And I had to use it for whatever reason. We had to use all of the samples that were provided. And so I was like, I guess we're just going to cuff, roll these sleeves up and
have the model
like kind of like three quarters or something.
Side profile only.
But it was one of those things where I'm like, this is a blooper that shouldn't have happened. Like someone really messed up.
And didn't notice.
And didn't notice.
Strange. That's a pretty good one. I think for me, that time that I was trying on one of our muslins that we just had in the office. I don't remember why I was trying it on, but I was trying it on, I guess.
Yeah.
And I got stuck in it because the zipper got stuck at the waistline.
Uh-huh.
Basically, I guess it was sewn too close to the waistline.
Yeah.
And I got into it just fine, but I couldn't get out of it.
Yeah.
And we're working and working on the zipper.
Yeah, for a while.
And then finally, I just asked Haley to cut me out of it.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't going to get out any other way.
Yeah. I mean, like the good thing, sometimes the nice thing, if you have like, happens to be like a sample in the office that we like sewed up for a model or something and they're a similar size to you, you're like, cool, I'm going to try it on.
Yeah.
See if this is the size I should make. And, you know, stuff happens.
You win some, you lose some. Yeah. So it just reminds me of every time I've ever gotten stuck in a dressing room and the zipper got stuck or whatever.
Oh my God.
And it's just so mortifying.
I did that at a dressing room with a jumpsuit. It was like a step-in jumpsuit, but and it was like a surplice bodice. But it was one of those that you like really have to have flexible shoulders to get in and out of. And I do have flexible shoulders, but I got like stuck. And it's like in the summertime and it's hot.
That's the worst.
And I'm like sweating. I'm like, oh God, I would have to have someone come and help me.
Yeah.
This is going to be awful.
No, so embarrassing. That's happened to me before. I've also gotten stuck in dressing rooms, like the door has gotten stuck, which is also somehow embarrassing. I don't know why, because it's not your fault. The door got stuck, but I don't know. You feel weird about it. Help me. Hanging on the door.
Yeah, those weird, embarrassing things. Like when someone says happy birthday and you say, you too. You're like, why did I say that? I'm going to go hide.
All right. Well, if you have an icebreaker for us for a future episode, you can leave it for us. If you're a Seamwork member, just go to seamwork.com/go/icebreakers, and that'll take you to a thread on our community where you can leave your own question that we'll use in a future episode. All right. So we all make mistakes. I think we should just normalize that. I think we should just talk about it. That's kind of what we're covering today when we talk about sewing bloopers. So we talk about sewing bloopers, we're talking about mistakes that you make. Often these mistakes are really easily avoidable mistakes.
Sure.
Which kind of makes you feel even more silly, but you don't need to feel silly because it happens to everyone. We all make those mistakes. And that's why I like the word bloopers, because I don't know, it has a little bit of a humor to it.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, a fail. So let's talk about our mistakes and just make that a normal part of the conversation when it comes to sewing. And I think we'll all feel a lot better about them. Now, how often do you feel like you make a really big sewing mistake?
I mean, every project I make some kind of mistake.
Yeah.
Like, it's rare that I don't have to seam rip something or troubleshoot something along the way. Really big mistake. I mean, it used to be pretty frequently when I was, I feel like I used to be a lot more in a rush when I was sewing than I am now. And I would make dumb mistakes like cutting a hole through the center of a skirt when I'm grading a seam or things like that. But like big, unsalvageable mistakes, maybe like once a year now. Not as often, but it used to be all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I don't feel like I usually make small recoverable mistakes.
Yeah.
Usually one, or at least one every single project.
Yeah.
But the big ones that actually ruin things, not so much. It doesn't really happen very often.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, so I was filming a video for the skirt that I'm wearing right now, which has this really cool waistband that uses both drawstring and elastic in it. So it has kind of a ruched effect. So I was making a YouTube video about it and sewing it. And I was going to do the drawstring first and then do the elastic. So I put the drawstring in, I tied both ends of the drawstring so they wouldn't get stuck inside. And then I put in the first elastic and I put in the second elastic. And when I went to stretch out the elastic, of course the drawstring like right into the casing and was gone. And I tried to fish it out, but it was all ruched. So it was like almost impossible. So I had to take out the drawstring, get out the bodkin, put it through once again. So, you know, it was a small mistake. Probably took me an extra like 15 minutes because of that. Not that big a deal, but those things happen.
Yeah, it's recoverable.
All the time. Yeah.
Do you notice any trends in what cause you to make mistakes?
Well, I think, like you said, if I'm rushed, there's 100% chance of making a mistake when I'm in a rush.
Yeah.
That's a big one for me. I think if I'm not paying a ton of attention is another thing. I mean, I don't think my 100% of my attention has to be on there. I usually listen to music or something when I sew or listen to podcasts or whatever. But if I'm really kind of zoning out or if I'm tired, then it's definitely more likely that mistakes are going to occur. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, definitely if I'm rushing, I feel like I've improved upon my tendency to rush things. But I would say the other thing is if I'm just like not in the right headspace for sewing. And sometimes I like push myself too because I can kind of like snap out of it and sewing can kind of put me into a better mindset. But sometimes like you just can't force it. Like if you're not feeling it and you're not feeling like the focus and attention to detail that you need to sew, then you're not feeling it. Or when I'm sewing on a deadline, which is kind of can be a combination of the two. You're rushing for the deadline and you're forcing yourself to sew and you don't necessarily feel like it.
Yeah.
Because you have a deadline and you have to. That's kind of like a recipe for disaster for me. And I assume everyone else ever.
Yeah. That's the one downside I feel when I'm filming a video, when I'm actually filming one of my projects. Because first of all, if you've ever tried to film an entire sewing project, it takes two or three times as long to finish the project if you're doing that. And on top of that, you want to finish it by a certain time, usually for me, because I'm making a video for YouTube or something. And so like yesterday, I wanted to film the entire thing in a day. And normally when I'm sewing, I don't really put deadlines on myself like that. So by the end of it, I often feel tired and I just need to finish. And so it's not as, I mean, I still have fun doing it, but I just feel like there's a little bit more of that pressure.
Yeah.
And that causes mistakes a lot of time. Like the drawstring thing, that was at the very end of the project.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's hard when you're filming things. That's my same experience when doing like sew-alongs or projects for YouTube. That it just like I always underestimate the amount of time it'll take. And it's always awkward because your camera's in the way of what you're doing sometimes.
Yeah.
So you're like, cool, let me like sew with my head like way over yonder.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I can kind of see what I'm doing.
That was the story of my life yesterday. I was trying to get a close-up on something. I don't remember. And I don't really have, I'm just filming with like a single camera and a tripod, and I was trying to get a good angle, and then the fabric kept slipping off the table and I was trying to like get around the camera to put it back on and then try to film my hands without bumping into the camera. And I was getting kind of frustrated.
Yeah, it's tough. That's tough. Well, let's like dig into some of these bloopers and the things that you can do to avoid them. So the way that we like framed these tips is that we have kind of like a category of mistake that can be made. Mm-hmm. And then the things that you can do, kind of preventative measures so that you can avoid them in the future. So I will start us off with mistake number one, and that is neglecting your pattern instructions. I think that this can be the source of so many various different sewing mistakes, kind of like assuming you know how something's going to come together, mm-hmm. when in fact it was like designed to come together in maybe a very specific way. So the ways that we're going to avoid this, I mean, obviously you need to use your pattern instructions. I like to start off every project by just skimming the instructions and taking notes, taking some extra care to read a little bit more closely wherever there's a technique that is different than what I'm used to or entirely new to me. Mm-hmm. I also make sure that I'm looking at the cutting layouts and not just like off-roading, because the garments, especially if there's any kind of asymmetry to the garment at all, it can even be a subtle asymmetry, like the way the pockets are or something, can make the cutting layouts not as straightforward as you would assume they would be. And it's like a total shame to waste fabric, and cutting something wrong is like, that's a hard mistake to rebound from because you can't uncut fabric like you can seam rip a messed up seam. Note the seam allowances. Make sure that you're using the correct seam allowances, that you know what they are, that your pattern has seam allowance, because I've definitely made that mistake in the past. And again, just flagging any tricky steps so that you know, you can highlight them, make sure you need to use a little extra care and slow down there.
Yeah. Those are all really good tips. I think that the cutting layout one is a really good one, because that's something that happened to me recently where I was cutting garment out and I just barely squeaked by with enough fabric. And it's because I wasn't really paying attention to the cutting layout and I had to recut one of my pieces because of that. So yeah, that was definitely a lesson learned there. All right, mistake number two is not thoroughly prepping your project. So one thing you want to do is always measure your test square. So if you're printing your pattern at home, that'll help you to avoid those printing mistakes where you've printed something at the wrong size. So always be sure to measure that test square and make sure that you printed something at the wrong size, because we get that all, I wouldn't say all the time, but oftentimes people have trouble with a pattern and it turns out that they printed it at 98% or they printed it at 105%. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't think that would make a difference, but it really does, because each piece is a little bit bigger or a little bit smaller. And when you add those up, it comes out quite a bit bigger or quite a bit smaller. So that's one thing. Pre-treat and press your fabric for sure. So this is something that will really ensure that you don't get a garment that looks totally different after you've sewn it and worn it than before, because you want to have your fabric treated in the same exact way that you'll be treating it afterwards. And that'll help to remove any shrinkage and make sure that you're not sewing wrinkles into your garment and all of that. So be sure to pre-treat, which usually means wash in some way, and press your fabric before you use it. Be sure to transfer all your markings as well. This is a really, when I was learning to sew, this is one of the ones that it seems so silly. Like, why wouldn't you transfer your markings?
Yeah.
But oftentimes I was so lazy and I didn't really understand why they were important, and I would just ignore them half the time. I don't know why. Looking back on it.
Or I would be like, I'll add them in later. And then your garment's halfway sewn and you're trying to align a pattern piece. And you're like, this is a horrible, horrible choice.
Yeah. So if you're not accustomed to doing that, definitely get into the habit. I really like the screw punch. We talk about it all the time for punching holes in your fabric. It's a really easy tool to use to punch a hole in anywhere on your pattern. It doesn't have to be on the edge, and that'll help make marking a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice little keyhole for your pencil to slide through.
Yeah. Test your stitches on a swatch if you can. So this is a really simple step that you can take just to make sure that everything is going to sew correctly. Just try it out on some extra fabric after you've cut out your piece. Very easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, stay stitch to prevent stretching. This is another one that's really easy to skip, especially if you aren't really that familiar with stay stitching or know its purpose. But whenever you're sewing on a curve or a diagonal, there's a chance of the fabric stretching out because it's on a bias of some kind. And so stay stitching helps prevent that area from getting all stretched out. So you'll often be instructed to stay stitch along necklines, along any curved edges. If you have like a diagonal pocket or something like that, then mm-hmm. you'll often be told to stay stitch. So that's what that's for if you're not too familiar with stay stitching. And that's a really, really important first step before you start sewing.
I've made so many of those mistakes, and it's because I'm not as big of a fan of like this, the cutting prep part. I'm like always excited to just get sewing.
Yeah.
I think it can be easy to get in that mindset of like, I just want to sew and rush through those little details that make such a difference.
Yeah.
Okay. Mistake number three. This is making assumptions about fit. This is, I don't love this mistake, but I love the tips for this one. So I think that it can be, especially when you're coming from like a ready to wear like mindset, and just the way that I think oftentimes we are like conditioned as people, and especially women, to like put a lot of value into a number. And you're like, this is the size I wear, and I always wear this size. And I see so many people kind of get caught up in that a little bit too with like their home sewing.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit of sewing your own clothes is you just have so much more information to go on. You have so many more choices. So really take advantage of all of that information that you're given so that you can ultimately get the best fit. So tip number one here is to read the body measurement chart and the finished measurement chart, because what this is going to tell you is the ease of the garment. The difference between your body's measurements and the measurements of the garment is the ease. You need ease to be able to move in your clothing. It's also there for design purposes. So if you're looking at something, you want a fitted button up, but the pattern you're looking at has 10 inches of ease in the bust, then that may not necessarily be the pattern for you, because sizing down four sizes to get the ease you want isn't necessarily always the best choice to make.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding that design intent and whether that garment is a good fit for you, and taking into consideration the ease of the garment, is so important, because you don't want to set yourself up to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Another tip here is to take accurate and frequent body measurements, and also make sure that you're making a muslin, because it's an extra step, but I promise you, you're going to be so much happier with the way that your garments fit if you take the time to mock it up in some muslin fabric and make a few adjustments for your body.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big believer in muslins for things that I think will need them.
Yeah.
I don't think you necessarily need to make a muslin for everything.
Yes.
But there are definitely some types of garments where they have saved me.
Yeah, if I'm making a pair of pants, unless it's like elastic waist, wide leg pants,
yeah,
I'm probably going to make a muslin. If I'm making like a huge, like a gathered skirt with an elastic waist, like something you're wearing, like, no.
Yeah. It's not exactly conforming to my body in any way except for the elastic. So.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good rule of thumb. Just something to think about is, you know, how fitted it is when you're considering whether to make a muslin or not. I think the other great thing about it may seem like a lot of extra work, but with something like pants, you'll likely, if you get a good fit, you'll probably make them again.
Yeah.
And so you'll save a lot of time. if you get a good fit on them. If you don't get a good fit on them, you probably never make them again.
So. Which will also save you time.
You'll go back to the elastic waist pants at that point. All right, going into mistake number four. Mistake number four is flying blind when you get confused or disoriented. So I often see this with things like zipper flies or sleeve plackets. It's hard to say sleeve plackets.
Yeah.
Or welt pockets. Those are things that often have a lot of steps to them. Mm-hmm. There's a real sequence that you need to follow, and it's not super intuitive, but a lot of times people will get kind of confused and just try and figure it out on their own. Mm-hmm. And that can lead to a lot of issues. So if you're getting frustrated or you're getting confused about something like that, just take a step, pause, read through that section of the instructions. And if you need to, you can even Google the technique so you can see it in a different format. So if the instructions aren't really helping you, try a video or try a photo tutorial or something else, or maybe even try a different method. But if you kind of just take a step back and make sure that you understand step by step what needs to be done, that's really going to be a lot more effective than just trying to figure it out on your own. There's no need to try and figure it out on your own. There's tons of support out there for you. And then if you need to, you could baste a mock-up. This really helps to kind of solidify how it comes together if you're having mm-hmm. trouble with that. Even a really small, like half size mock-up, obviously you probably don't want to do that for like a welt pocket. That just makes it harder. But if you're doing something that is on a larger scale and you need to try it out to see how it works, like let's say you're learning the burrito method mm-hmm. for putting in a lining, and that can be kind of confusing. Mm-hmm. But if you were to make a little half scale model, or even with paper sometimes mm-hmm. To see how it all works, that can be really helpful. And then sew a bunch of practice samples before you sew the real thing. So there's no reason to rush through it and get something that's not going to be a great result for you. So just take a few minutes, take some extra scrap fabric and practice it before you get going.
Yeah. Okay. And our final mistake, mistake number five, is letting imprecise sewing wreck your project. This is one of those things I feel conflicted about because mm-hmm. I think striving for perfection in all places can be kind of toxic behavior.
Yeah.
But also, it's really important to recognize in sewing that multiple imprecisions can all align to make a problem that's much bigger. Mm-hmm. And lots of times imprecise, like, you know, a project that doesn't fit quite right can start from imprecise cutting. If you cut something imprecise, you're like an eighth of an inch off when you're cutting. Then an eighth of an inch off when you sew all of the seams, you add all of that up and suddenly your garment is an inch and a half bigger or smaller yeah. than it was intended to be. Things can really add up. So really taking the time to practice as much precision as is available to you where you are in your sewing journey is a really worthwhile thing, and it'll save you a lot of frustration. So some of the things that you can do besides slowing down to help you be a little bit more precise is hand basting whenever you can. If you're in a tricky spot, you're sewing a sleeve that's giving you heck, maybe try hand basting it instead. You can also use pins or clips, whatever you prefer, very aggressively. Mm-hmm. I always like to think of like my pins as like little sets of extra hands mm-hmm. and more pins is more control. So use more pins than you normally would. Double check your markings. I think that imprecise markings can really mess you up, especially I'll mention welt pockets again. Mm-hmm. If you mark your welt pocket imprecisely and you sew a little bit off, like it could be a recipe for disaster. Make sure you're always matching your notches and all of, you know, other relevant markings in your projects, and clip and notch when needed so that you can make curves fit together or align inverted corners where needed. And then use tools like your point turner or even your iron. Ironing as frequently mm-hmm. as possible can also help you be a lot more precise. Precision is definitely like part a mindset thing and training yourself to slow down, mm-hmm. but it is also muscle memory that you'll need to pick up over time. So as much as it's important to focus on it, it is something that just will come with time.
Yeah. And another thing you can do is if there's an area where you feel like it's really hard for you to be precise, hand sewing is another option.
Yeah.
We mentioned hand basting, but you could also hand sew certain things like hems mm-hmm. or a lot of times I know one thing that, I mean, to this day, I still have trouble with, I think everybody has trouble with, is when you're sewing bias tape, trying mm-hmm. to catch the underside just perfectly so that you're not sewing off the edge, but yeah. you don't have a huge, so that can be difficult. If you don't feel comfortable doing it, you could either hand baste it before you sew, or you can just stitch it by hand, and there's nothing wrong with that. You have tons of control when you're hand sewing. And I think it can add a really lovely touch to a lot of garments too.
Yeah. You might end up with something even nicer than mm-hmm. you anticipated.
Yeah. So those are our tips, and I will recap them for you guys real fast. So mistake number one that you can make is neglecting your instructions. So be sure to read through your instructions and really understand them and flag those tricky steps. Mistake number two is not thoroughly prepping your project. So always make sure that you've done all the prep work necessary, including with your pattern, with your fabric, making sure it's pre-treated, your markings are transferred, and any kind of stitching that you might do, you might need to do just as practice before you get going. Mistake number three is making assumptions about fit. So be sure to look at all the measurement charts that you have available to you and use those to really understand how the garment is going to fit you before you choose your size, and don't just go off what you think your size should be. Mistake number four is flying blind when you're confused or disoriented and you're doing something that involves a lot of steps. So if you find yourself in that situation, just be sure to take a break and step back, go through the instructions again, and really try to understand them, whether that's through just reading them again or getting hands-on and making some mock-ups. And then mistake number five is letting imprecise sewing wreck your project. So that starts with having precise cutting, and then using all the techniques we mentioned, hand basting, pins, double checking your markings, making sure that your notches are matching up, all of those things that will help you to be more precise in your sewing. And you know, all successful sewing projects start with a good plan. And our free sewing planner is a printable tool to help you design and plan your sewing projects. So it includes pages for sketching looks, planning out individual projects with sketches and swatches, and you can print as many pages as you need. So this is available for free at seamwork.com/go/free-planner. So that's seamwork.com/go/free-planner, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. And if you like this episode, I would love to ask you a favor, which is if you enjoyed this episode, could you forward it to a friend that you think would also enjoy it? That's really how people learn about the podcast. It's through word of mouth. And so we wanted to just ask you guys, if there's anybody you know who might enjoy this episode or this podcast as a whole, to pass it along to them. Because we see this on social media all the time, and we see people recommending the podcast or people telling us that they heard about the podcast through a friend. And it just makes my day when I hear that. So thank you to everybody who's done that. You can also follow us on YouTube at Seamwork Video. You can follow us on Instagram at Seamwork. And if you'd like to join Seamwork and become part of our private community, plus get access to hundreds of sewing patterns and dozens of sew-along classes, podcast listeners get a 50% off lifetime discount when you join at seamwork.com/go/podcast50. So that's seamwork.com/go/podcast50. And that does it for us this week. I'm Sari.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Seamwork Radio.
Seamwork Radio is brought to you by the team at Seamwork. Seamwork's an online community that supports you in creating a wardrobe that feels right for you. When you join us at Seamwork, you become part of our private community of makers, and you also get access to monthly sew-along classes, a library of over 200 sewing patterns, and tons of great resources to help guide you through the sewing adventure that you choose. podcast listeners can get half off a Seamwork Unlimited membership, which means you can download as many of those 200 plus patterns as you want at any time, and our community will be there to guide and support you. If you'd like to join us for half off, just visit seamwork.com/go/podcast50. You can also find us on Instagram at Seamwork or visit our YouTube channel, which is called Seamwork Video. We love hearing from you, so let us know if there's a topic or a personal story that you'd like us to cover. Thanks for listening to Seamwork Radio.